time to waste. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is a man who says he likes logic and reality. But when his defense is playing people out of position and allowing people to score at a rate at historical proportions, and say that he's got a good defense, all logic just went out the window. I'm done. Have a good day.
It did not go out of the window. Does it go out the window? All right, so he is actually done. There's Solomon Wilcots joining us. He is walking away. Thank you, Solomon. There's your level of emotional intelligence. There's Solomon Wilcots and apparently a doctor that has a heart monitor.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Red Friday. Heading into Championship Sunday. Heading into incredibly long, how in the hell is it only noon Saturday? Why is it only 2 o'clock Saturday? What else do I have to do to get through Saturday into a championship Sunday? 913-912-4810 is the text line to join us to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810 to join us to weigh in your opinion, your thoughts on the game coming up 5:30 on Sunday, where the Chiefs are now a 1.5 favorite. So in the last 24 hours, that has moved 2.5 points from the Chiefs plus one to now Chiefs minus 1.5. So now clearly the disrespected Bengals can play that card.
Plucky underdogs.
Nobody believes in us. Everybody thought we were going to lose. You guys all picked against us. They were selling tickets to a mythical game. The Bengals-Jags game. Selling tickets to that mythical game. Yes, we will talk a lot of football today. We'll hear from some of the players in the locker room from yesterday. Good stuff from Nate and Steven in the locker room. They killed it. Along with the Chiefs' chances of winning, because Willie Gay just ruined everything. If it wasn't for Nate and Steven, if Nate and Steven hadn't been there, there would be no talk about Willie Gay all over the country and in Cincinnati, ESPN this morning, Good Morning Football, all about Willie Gay, but really Nate Buchady. What in the actual heck? Why do you guys hate the Chiefs? You rabble-rousers.
You know what impressed me about Nate and Steven's performance in the locker room?
What's that?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. That's right. Okay.
Oh, man. Look, dude, we got to Friday, and then we got the really, really convoluted bulletin board material out of Willie Gay literally trying to say nothing. And then literally saying nothing, and then that being the problem.
Well, there will be a lot of things said over the next 4 hours. We'll talk with Matt Derrick, 11 o'clock, Kendall Gammon, noon, Mick Schaefer coming up at about 12:30, and then we'll see who we'll hear from the Chiefs. What's the old saying? When it's all said and done, there will be a whole lot more said than done. I think that's less this week than it was the week leading up to the December 4th matchup.
Still a lot of talking.
There is, but there hasn't really. There was a lot of talking because the beginning of the week. And I think we around here, whether it be Twitter, fans, media, gas bags on the air, I think we hear the Burrowhead. And then you hear Mike Hilton or Bates that said, no excuses. I want him to be 100%, so there's no excuses. Essentially, I'm adding my editorial here. When we win, I don't want an excuse for why we won. I want him to be fully healthy.
Jesse Bates
that said that. So those two things were said. But what's been said since then?
Nothing.
Nothing, right. Except for then Willie Gay. There's been questions about what they're saying. Questions about Burrowhead. Questions about those on Twitter and the conversations nationally. And Kelsey and the New Heights podcast talking about it. So when we say, boy, there's a lot of talk going on, there's really only been like three comments, right? Burrowhead, no excuses, nothing is all there's been. But the week leading up to December 4th, it was Justin Reed. He went back to Twitter. There was like four or five different Bengals players weighing in. social media and on the record in front of a microphone. So I feel like that buildup was a lot more of the talking, even though it was just one Chiefs comment by Justin Reed. But then he went to Twitter before the game, went to Twitter, and then that's when the whole Twitter spat started. This week's just been a few. It's just been a few. But it's a long week leading up to it.
That's right.
It's a long week leading up to it. And there are two games this weekend. And the entire NFL nation, world, will be on Eagles 49ers, Chiefs Bengals on Sunday. And there are so many different ways to break the games down that Chiefs Bengals is the far more interesting, compelling game to me. And that's not just because we're here. I think if it was a different city outside of Philadelphia and San Francisco, I think if you're saying which game is the most compelling this weekend, is it the really good Eagles against 49ers and Brock Purdy, and it's a fun matchup, they're pretty good teams, or Burrow, Mahomes, part four, ankle, trash-talking, Burrowhead, AFC superiority, who then becomes the hunted next couple of years, whoever wins. Whereas Eagles, good team, good roster, good quarterback in how Jalen Hurts is playing, good weapons, good defense. They can get back to the Super Bowl with young head coach Nick Sirianni. Like they got to the Super Bowl with young, in terms of experience, head coach Doug Peterson. 49ers, Shanahan, can he get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy? But the Bengals Chiefs is the far more compelling and fascinating game, and that's why there feels like there's been a whole lot of trash talk between the Chiefs and the Bengals, because when you discuss the game, part of what you're discussing nationally and locally is, well, you know, there's all this trash talk going on. You know, there's all this talk. There's bulletin board material. When really in front of a microphone, there's only been one. And that was Jesse Bates that said, I hope he's 100%. I don't want any excuses in that game. But I just need to get to 5:30. Just need to get to 5:30. And while I can't wait to get to 5:30, my stomach is in knots thinking about when 5:30 gets here. And then what 8:45 or 9 o'clock will feel like. Because it is the entire gamut of just emotions. I mean, just I'm in a tornado of emotions here. Mm-hmm. It could be one way. Like on Monday at 10 o'clock,
yeah,
we either have one of the highest listenerships that we've had in a long time, or everybody turns the radio off and goes radio silent and doesn't want to listen to anything and doesn't read anything, doesn't get on Twitter, and you just simply go dark for a couple of days because you don't want to see it or hear it or read about it or anything like that. And there's legacy on the line. There's obviously Super Bowl on the line. There's trash talking on the line. There's superiority on the line. There's face of the NFL people are talking about being on the line. It's as monumental, it feels like, of a matchup in a championship game since early Brady Manning. Like when it was like, is Manning the better? Manning's the better quarterback, but Brady keeps winning. Manning's better, but Brady keeps winning. Manning's the much better, more talented quarterback. Look at all these numbers. I mean, Brady's a good quarterback, but you just can't beat Brady in the postseason. Early on, superiority for the AFC, and we know what happened. The superiority was the Patriots. I'm not saying that's the position the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is not Peyton Manning to Joe Burrow's Tom Brady, but it feels like it's been a long time since there has been this much of a buildup for what it could mean for an entire conference moving forward than this game on Sunday.
I think the only other recent example would be Chiefs-Bills. But you can see what happens when that becomes a little bit one-sided. It was Chiefs-Bills, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, and then the Chiefs showed that, well, that rivalry, a legitimate rivalry, two really good teams, but it's been a bit one-sided. And if the Bengals win on Sunday, they are going to have that argument which is a wild place to be. I think you're right about where these conference championship games are at. The NFC game is an undercard. It is a couple right. of quarterbacks proving that they belong. You know, look, Jalen Hurts had a borderline MVP season, mm-hmm. and Brock Purdy has been good since he got into the starting lineup. But this is like them establishing themselves in the NFL. Mahomes and Burrow are in their second or third acts in the Super Bowl, whichever one wins, obviously. Mm-hmm. Burrow's either going back-to-back or Mahomes will go to his third in a very short period of time.
4 years. 3 out of 4.
An incredible window. But what Chiefs and Bengals has, and it's why it's a lot of talking, not just from the teams, but like around the NFL world, and more talking is good for more talkers because it gives the talkers more to talk about.
I like it.
But Chiefs-Bengals feels like it is going to set the tone for a while. Mm-hmm. Not just this offseason, not just what the title defense campaign could look like if either the AFC teams win the whole thing. Not just the conversations about the face of the NFL going forward, being Mahomes or Burrow. But all of that, all rolled up into one, to the point that whoever is on the wrong side of it, they are now the challenger. They are going to have to be the team or the quarterback that unseats the other one. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't really been a threat for Mahomes since he became Patrick F. Mahomes. I know his middle name's LeVon. There's a silent F at the beginning. I add it sometimes. And so seeing where this leads all of us, and look, if Mahomes has a valiant performance on a bum ankle and the defense lets him down, That'll soften the narrative for him in particular. It's not going to soften the narrative around Kansas City, though. It's not going to soften an offseason. This is a team, being the Chiefs, that lived with the bitter taste in their mouths from everything that the Bengals fed to them last year. Then they had a chance to maybe just get a little bit of a palate cleanser in the regular season. They couldn't do that either. This game is either going to be absolutely disgusting or, well, hold on. This game is either going to be absolutely skyline chilly or a beautiful bite of Kansas City barbecue for the Chiefs.
Last year was skyline chilly for 2 weeks.
The Bengals have been shoving in skyline chili in our open mouths for 3 games in a row now.
Right, but it's been barbecue for 3 quarters.
That's a good point.
And then the taste that's left
man,
in your mouth.
Oh, man, can't wait for the dessert. It's
skyline. It's rat meat. It's sewer water with meat cooked in there.
Did you get the noodles also? Did you get just some bland Why? Extra noodles for some reason?
Why do I want rat water with meat on spaghetti?
When you say it like that, I mean, I get it.
It makes no sense. So, we talked a lot this week about like the previous games and opportunities that were there or opportunities that weren't there because of things that may have taken place earlier. And we talked about the plays that aren't made. I decided to watch the championship game from last year, last night.
Can't believe you keep doing this to yourself.
I sat down with my son. He had never seen the condensed games.
Okay, so it was also child abuse?
We watched the first half. He went to bed after that.
And
by the way, he didn't really remember because he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, all right. And then they'll score. He's like, oh, yeah, is that Tyreek Hill? I'm like, yeah, the first touchdown. So he went to bed at halftime. You know,
I wish I would have gone to bed at halftime the first time.
Me too. I was feeling good except for that. Man, they left 3 points on the board. It's not going to matter. They're fine. But there was a 4-play stretch in that second half with the game tied 21-21 in the conference championship game. These were the 4 plays in a row. L'Jarius Sneed for the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
For the Chiefs defense on the field, not 4 plays total, because the Chiefs offense went out there, went 3 and out, and got sacked on third down. L'Jarius Sneed interception, which, by the way, Chris Jones whipped the right guard and got right in Joe Burrow's face and was about to sack him. But Joe Burrow threw the ball early. And L'Jarius Sneed cut in front of Ja'Marr Chase because Burrow threw the ball early and it was an interception. But Chris Jones does not have a postseason sack.
Mm-hmm.
But L'Jarius Sneed has an interception against Joe Burrow because of Chris Jones, even though he does not have a postseason sack. But that was play one. Chiefs go 3 and out. Orlando Brown gives up the sack by Trey Hendrickson. He just gets whipped on third down. Bengals get the ball back. Next play, 2-yard run. Next play, Bolton dropped interception on the sideline. Next play, Chris Jones wrapped up on third down Joe Burrow, who swings away, escapes, runs to the near side, and picks up the first down. It's four plays. Four plays. They made a couple.
Yep.
Right? Because L'Jarius Sneed made the they made the play.
Yep.
Chiefs offense then let him down. 2 yard gain on a run. And then the next two times they didn't make the play. And then later on that drive, it was third down and eight. And Melvin Ingram had Joe Burrow dead to rights. And Joe Burrow slides through and then picks up 11 yards and runs for a first down. They ultimately kick a field goal. That was the difference in the game, because the Chiefs got the ball back and took the entire rest of the fourth quarter to go down the field and then kick their field goal. The final drive the Bengals had was the two missed sacks on third down for the Chiefs. And on that drive, Nick Bolton had an interception in his hands and just dropped it. Now, he's a linebacker. He's not a wide receiver. Wide receiver, running back probably makes that catch. Maybe a cornerback or a safety may make that catch. It's not easy because he's running to the sideline. He's not expecting Joe Burrow to throw it at him, at his legs. But as he's sliding down, if he secures it, he's got a knee down, he's got his butt down, and the ball just slides through and then hits the ground, and he, you know, picks it up, and then it's an incomplete pass. And the next play. Like, those are the things that happen, which cannot happen in this game. I would love to know, and I wish I had looked this up on Tuesday night before talking with Cynthia on Wednesday, but I looked it up last night, and in 2021, in that first matchup that they played, Burrow v. Mahomes, in the third quarter, the Chiefs had an 83.9% win probability in the third quarter of that game. In the conference championship game, in the third quarter, the Chiefs had an 89.9% win probability. On December 4th, in the third quarter, the Chiefs had a 77.9% win probability. I would love to know the statistical likelihood of an three individual games that have at least a 78% win probability in the second half and losing all three of those games. Individually, yes, it can happen. That's why it's only a 78 or an 83, because there's still a 20 or 17% chance that that team wins, and they did. But for all three times to lose all three of those games, what's the statistical probability of that happening? And that's where I sort of come back to, like, you see the, well, Bengals have, you know, saw one, Twitter's not real, but one person was like, oh, this, blah, 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 the Bengals have beat your ass three times. I'm like we forget about, like, what happened in these particular games. And no, they didn't beat the Chiefs' ass. Again, 83.9, 89.9, and 77.9. Those are the percentage chances of the Chiefs winning at some point in the second half. They've lost all three games.
Which is, in a way, almost worse.
Yeah.
It's almost worse, and it's also better. It's really a matter of perspective. We could say, hey, you're right. The Bengals have not come out here and just sunned the Chiefs three times. That's not what's happened, which probably should be encouraging for what it means on Sunday. This isn't an overmatched team. But, man, you've had them on the ropes thrice, and all three times you've ended up leaving with your head hung. I mean, that is a difficult thing to accomplish in the NFL. And again, this is probably just a reflection of how you're made up as a person and as a team, which makes me pretty confident that the Chiefs will take this the right way.
Sells and Adams.
But you could either... Adams is a Raider now.
Oh.
You can either... I couldn't think of a guy named Adam on the Chiefs or Bengals. I don't think there's an Adam on either roster. But you could either take that as, wow, we've had the upper hand three times in a row and they've come back and just taken it from us. They've got our number. Or it can be, we've had them three times in a row and we let them slither away. Not again. It's not as simple as, oh, we're beat, or not bleeping happening again. Not in our house. It's not that simple. But that attitude, you have to have one of those attitudes when you have results like that. I think the Chiefs have the right attitude in the building. I don't know that it's going to mean they win on Sunday, but man, it's a bizarre place for this team to be, because they literally have no other examples of that anywhere else in the NFL with this modern iteration of the Chiefs.
Text says, Jason, since memories are super bad, this is from yesterday, actually, says, it seems like the most recent Bengals game, Hurst was having some early success before he got hurt. Was that the case? Certainly seemed to be making more of an impact as of late. Mm-hmm. He worries me. He was.
Yeah. And he left early. Calf, I think.
And he missed a few games after that.
Yep.
Yesterday, he popped up on the injury report with a calf injury.
There you go. Okay.
And he was full participant on Wednesday, limited yesterday. Ian Rappaport said something to keep an eye on. There are also some people in Cincinnati that said it's worrisome because it may be a bigger deal than just limited, that he might have been limited because he re-injured it in practice. That's why he was limited.
You start taking live reps, you leave after one rep, you're technically limited on the day.
Yep, you did practice, but you weren't a full participant. You were limited. Today's a pretty crucial day to see if Hayden Hurst goes out there and practices.
Very.
Because he missed 3 weeks because of that calf injury. Now, maybe it's a different leg, but as somebody who is old and not athletic and had a calf injury just by trying to run with my daughter up the stairs and couldn't put any weight on it for like 4 or 5 days, ugh, the worst. So I don't know. Maybe he felt it a little bit and they just said, all right, go sit out. We got to put you on the injury report, but this is just precaution because you missed 3 weeks with that thing. So you're playing on Sunday. We'll do rehab or whatever. But it is something to keep an eye on today, because if they have three offensive linemen missing and Hayden Hurst, because he has been, Texter's right, Hayden Hurst has been a big part of what they've been doing lately. And oddly enough, Trent Irwin. I mean, we talk about Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, but Hurst and Irwin and the running backs have been crucial, because while Chase and Higgins can just eat you alive, Boyd can, you know, sort of just scalpel and death by a thousand cuts, but Irwin and Hurst and the running backs break your back on a third and six, and they get it to that guy because you had Higgins and Chase taken care of.
And where on the field, loosely, would you say those running backs and tight ends typically attack?
Typically between the numbers.
Interesting.
Yes, provocative. All right, we'll take a time out. I want to hear some sound from the Chiefs locker room yesterday. Carlos Dunlap, I was going to cut a couple of clips from that, but then I listened to the whole thing and I thought, nah, the whole thing's good. It's like 4.5 minutes, but I want to play the whole thing. It's really good. We've got we also have some clips from other guys and the Athletic Football Show that Josh started listening to yesterday.
For the first time.
Yeah, the first time.
I tell you what, that Chris Jones clip is going to make you feel some feelings, Jason.
I like feeling feelings. I love it.
I might not on Sunday.
I'm gonna slide into Cynthia's DMs and see if she knows what the probability would be of losing all three games in which you had a percentage chance of that.
Would you also do me a favor and ask her for the probability of me losing my mind this weekend?
That is 105%.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I didn't realize this until looking and spending a lot of time just staring into the abyss and trying to, you know, figure out what it all means.
Hey, that's what I did last night, too.
Yes.
Nothing to do with sports.
That's right.
Staring into the abyss, trying to figure out what it all means.
Yes. That's right. You had a gummy. I was looking at Pro Football Reference. We had a different experience.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I want to hear from sound from the locker room for the Chiefs.
Before we do that, can I get those percentages again? Because I just found a probability calculator.
Yeah, please.
And I might be able to try to help you get there.
Yep, 77.9. 77.9.
83.9.
89.9.
And these are winning percentage chances in the second half.
Yep, in the third. All of those were in the third quarter.
So the probability of all three occurring, all three of none of them occurring, because this is the Chiefs winning percentage, right? So I'm on omnicalculator.com.
Yeah, yeah, of
course. I cite my sources because this is not my work, and if they're wrong, I'd have no way of knowing. Somebody texted in with one very close to this, I think. The percentage chance of none of those three things occurring, 0.359.
Yeah, somebody texted us at 0.39.
Chance. That's not moving the decimal. That is a 0.36 percent
half
chance.
Less than half of 1%.
The probability of all three occurring, in this case, meaning all the Chiefs winning all three games from those percentage chances, 58.7%. The probability of at least one occurring, 99.6. So,
I mean, yeah.
Take that, Cynthia. I'm a math boy now.
Yeah, math boy. What's up, mathlete? Let's talk some athletes here.
We're here doing push-ups on multiplication tables.
That's right. You got your your football. I got my abacus.
a mathlete.
You put your hand in the dirt, I put my hand in the calculator, on the calculator, whatever, doesn't matter.
Do you think a mathlete would have, like, washboard abacus? I'm going to go home. You don't need me the next 3.5 hours.
I don't.
Not after that.
Nope.
I can't even look at you.
So do you want some more numbers? Let's do numbers on the radio. Numbers are fun.
I love radio numbers.
Nah, we don't have to do many numbers.
Oh, okay.
But
there you go. The odds of all of that happening. Yeah. Very low.
So in the divisional round, 8 quarterbacks played in the divisional round. At Chad Henne, but let's just, you know, 8 quarterbacks started and played the divisional round. Have you seen the quarterback ratings for all 8 quarterbacks?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Jalen Hurts led all quarterbacks with a 112.2 quarterback rating. Coming in second, Patrick Mahomes after his ankle injury with a 103.47. Not Patrick Mahomes had a 103.47 in the game. After the ankle injury, Mahomes had the second highest quarterback rating of all QBs last weekend. Burrow was at a 101.9. Purdy an 87.4, Trevor Lawrence 74.4, Josh Allen 68.1, Dak 63.6, Daniel Jones 53.8. Jalen Hurts 112.2, Patrick Mahomes after he hurt his ankle 103.47, Joe Burrow 101.9. Just saying. I'm just saying.
Your progression this week.
I know, it's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. It's just really interesting because I felt the same pull, and I just keep hitting the snag somewhere. I don't feel good about any of this, Jason.
No.
I don't feel good about this.
There are inner demons that are fighting each other right now. There's the inner demon fighting it and saying, I remember after the game, on December 5th, when you were on the air and you said,
you said,
I ain't picking the Chiefs to beat the Bengals if they play again until they do.
Until they do it.
Oh, yeah? Then what'd you spend all week breaking this damn game down for? If all of the signs point to this should be a Chiefs win, then just do it. Have some balls, man. That's what the inner demons sound like in me right now.
You also had some too many Uncrustables for breakfast, I think.
Exactly right. Carlos Dunlap, I hope he eats his Uncrustables this weekend and is ready to go, and his spinach. This is about 4.5 minutes because it's really good. I was going to cut a clip or two from this, but it's too good to just have one or two clips. So here's Carlos Dunlap in the locker room talking about, you know, this opportunity to play in a conference championship game.
Obviously, at this point in my career, I've been able to accomplish a lot, but I hadn't won a playoff game or had an opportunity to play in an AFC championship game or a Super Bowl. So this is what we're striving for.
When I talked to Juju yesterday, he's almost like kind of in the same boat. He's like 6 years, and he finally got his first playoff win last week.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
For Juju?
Yeah. And he said, like, for the veterans like yourself and
what?
Yeah, 6 years in, and his first playoff win was last week.
They beat us for one when I was in Cincy. I don't know.
Yeah, he got.
That's crazy for him.
Yeah, but he said the opportunity to get it before their time was up.
Yes, that is a big thing. You know, obviously I'm at the peak of my career right now. A lot of my best football has came before me, but I still feel like I got a lot of left, and that's why we came here to have the best opportunity to put it on the main stage and have the opportunity to compete for things that a lot of players who have accomplished what I've been able to accomplish didn't have an opportunity to do. You know, I almost had 200 games and I hadn't won a playoff game. Fortunately, we got it before the 200 games, you know. And now we're going to try to even that out and get all of them. And we're going to start with this one this weekend.
How much does it mean to you that this opportunity comes against Cincinnati?
It's like a storybook telling. I mean, it's, you know, it's bittersweet. It had to be these circumstances, but I'm riding with my team, and I love the situation that we've done. We built something phenomenal here, and we're not done yet. So, but we gotta go out here and do it, and we get the chance to do it in Arrowhead, which is phenomenal. And these guys hosted it all 5 times. You know, majority of guys in this locker room hadn't not experienced it, and here I come with 200 games and I hadn't experienced it. So it was a crazy, you know, tell to a story. But I'm just being present, enjoying the moment, and preparing to win a football game.
Did you watch the game casually Sunday?
What? Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to know who we were playing and where we were playing. So absolutely, I watched the game. I didn't have, you know, any personal bias to which one. But I'm grateful that it is them and looking forward to the opportunity to play against them.
No personal bias despite playing for the Bengals?
No, I don't have any quarrels against the Bengals. They gave me my first opportunity. I was able to accomplish some phenomenal things. I got a few records there. Got the rookie record. Got the career record there. Got a lot of things. So I feel like, you know, adding the Super Bowl to it, I should be one of the Bengals' greats. But right now, I want to be the greatest Chiefs player on Sunday and then be the greatest Chiefs player on that following Super Bowl, you know, and just keep stacking on there. And we'll figure out the rest and figure out who's going to write that story after the fact. But right now, I just want to focus on getting that storyline that the Chiefs won in Arrowhead this Sunday.
You know, last year they had trouble getting to Burrow. That was one of the reasons why the Chiefs lost. They bring you in to help solve that problem. So can you tell me a little bit about the difficulties of getting to him and actually, you know, bringing him down and putting pressure on Burrow based on the last matchup?
He's super slippery in the pocket. He's a very savvy, crafty player. He gets the ball off quick, so they do a good job of mixing it up early, getting it off quick, and then when they're throwing it deep or late, or the plays and the highlights that you guys show, there's typically chippers or some type of protection that gives him more time, and that's what they have been having success at, and we take that responsibility on as a D-line to not give him that time.
Thanks, Carlos.
If you allowed yourself to think about what it would be like if you got this win and finally get that pull of going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course I've thought about it. That's part of why I signed up here for the opportunity. But right now I want to focus on being present in the moment before thinking about what's happening after the moment. So that's why I didn't get into the what-ifs and all that. Right now I want to win Sunday, and then after we do that, I'm going to win that next one, and then boom, we'll look back on what we did.
All the trash talk, them saying this is Burrowhead instead of Arrowhead, does that matter?
Listen, people can say what they want. If we don't stop it, then what is it?
So, good luck, man.
Appreciate it. We don't need luck, though.
That's right.
I love that ending. I had to leave the ending in there. Good luck, man. We don't need luck. That's right. That was good. It was good from Carlos Dunlap. I was going to cut up a couple clips, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave the whole thing there because talking about it being kind of bittersweet for him, that this storybook to go to the Super Bowl, he spent so much of his career there, and it would be going through that team to go to the Super Bowl when he's now a Kansas City Chief. And I like that he, you know, said, and you know, maybe every single player is telling you the God's honest truth when they say, no, I haven't thought about anything but this week, this week, this week, this week. But I do like that he was like, yeah, of course I've thought about it. You dream your whole life of playing in a Super Bowl, of course. That's why I came here, exactly. Was to have this opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to be in the moment and trying to win this game and see what happens after that. But yes, of course I've thought about it, because how can you not, you know, this week, how can you not sort of envision, if you're envisioning a win, yep, then you're envisioning what it would be for you to win and that be go to the Super Bowl. You know, when you play that whole, you know, see it and that, you know, that mental strength to try to picture it, that image in your mind, so you can manifest that to become reality. But yeah, I think everybody, it would only be human nature. You would have to be the strongest between the ears to not let your mind think at all about what Sunday night could be on a stage if you win.
You think about the goals you're trying to accomplish in addition to the way you're going to accomplish them. This is year 14 for Carlos Dunlap. I bet he knows that he has to play his best football on Sunday. It's also, in my mind at least, perfectly okay to remember what it is that you're playing for. You're playing for a ticket to the Super Bowl. And for Carlos Dunlap, a level of playoff success that he hasn't even gotten this close to over the course of the decade plus, the dozen years plus he's already had in the NFL.
You said this was year 14 for him.
11 years in Cincy, 2 in Seattle, here in Kansas City, year 14.
Just thought about this as you said that. I had to go look it up real quick. This is year 14 for Carlos Dunlap playing in his first.
It's 13 because he split that year, right, in Cincy in Seattle.
Even better. This is year 13 for Carlos Dunlap, and he's playing in his first conference championship game. This is career game number 12 for Trent McDuffie, playing in his first conference championship game.
George Karloftis, also rookie, season same position, though. But he's been actually playing. He's
this
been
is
actually
game
playing.
Game number 12 for Trent McDuffie.
Amazing.
Year 13 for Amazing. Carlos Dunlap. They both will experience Sunday for the first time in their lives. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Cynthia, are you okay with Beards playing the returner with the amazing English? Like, I was curious about that. Is Cynthia Finn is our guest, NFL Network's analytics expert? Okay,
listen,
good.
I love it. I own it. I own what I say. We're good.
Good, because we make fun of ourselves all the time, and we play things back all the time of when we mess up talking.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I looked at CBS Sports and ESPN for the... there are experts that have made their picks already. Some have not made their selections. But there are 12 from CBS and ESPN combined that have made their picks for the conference championship game. 9 of the 12 have the Bengals winning.
Nobody believes in us. Everybody hates us.
Six of the 15 last week had the Bills had the Bengals winning. So out of 15 people, six of them picked the Bengals to go and win. Everybody else had the Bills. This week, only 3 of them have the Chiefs winning. We'll see. A lot of recency bias going on, I feel like.
Tyler Huntley almost had him. We're so close just avoiding this entirely.
Not only the fact that he fumbled the ball, but he also threw the ball at Ricard's feet when he was wide open for a touchdown the play before that. You suck. No.